this week on the Time Bat Show.
But I guess they wanted to just make Die Hard as like, okay, Arnold, remember your character in Commando? You're the same character, but now you're in like a building with terrorists. You're like, okay. He's like, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it now. Really good. Everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 52. I'm your host, Time Aces, coming to you live this morning with my co-host, Batsnacks.
Howdy, folks.
It's our 52nd episode. It's our year anniversary this episode. Are you very excited about this?
I think, yeah.
You think, yeah.
We did something funny before the show started, and I'm like...
You're like cracking
I'm
up
about
that.
I'm disoriented from it.
Okay, yeah. We have a very special episode for you today, for you fine folks today. Before the episode started, we tried to make this episode very special, and we failed. Well, we didn't do a good job. We did an okay job, but it's still going to be really good, trust me. But just imagine what even it could have been. No, this is a bad way to start the podcast.
imagine what it could have been. It's the thing that we were trying, but they have no idea what it is.
It'll be a secret. Once we get our intern, we will be able to do this thing. Yes. So how's it going? How do you feel about being a year older? Well, not a year older, but a year older as a podcaster.
It feels kind of the same.
Does it feel any different?
Not really.
No. Does it feel like our show has grown up?
No.
Does it feel like our show has de-aged?
Maybe.
Grown how down.
I don't know how that feels.
What's the thing they do in the Super Mario Brothers movie? It's like de...
they de-evolve each other into lizards.
Yeah. Do you think that's what happens?
We've de-evolved
to the Time Bat Show? Well, to the Time Bat Show. Like, it used to be a X podcast, and now it's a Y podcast. I don't know. Do you feel that way?
No, not really. Not really.
Okay. So it's the same. Nothing has changed.
Nope. What are we doing today?
I don't know.
What do we have on the...
Today, we're going to try something new that we've never done before. And the reason we're trying something new is because this is our 52nd episode, so a year ago today... Actually, that's not true. But a year ago, give or take a week or something, I don't know, is when we started this podcast. So today, instead of going through the annals of... Is that the right word? Annals?
No. I mean, it's not a wrong word for where we get our questions.
The annals of Reddit. Instead of going through the annals of Reddit,
The annals of the internet, if you will.
Which Reddit is the anal of the internet, so it works. Yes. The analogy works. Instead of going through the annals of Reddit, we have... decided to ask a bunch of our listeners if they'd provide to us questions for us to answer the show, and we have a decent amount.
And we're going to blow them all today.
And we're going to blow all of them.
We're
not going to
save them.
We're not going to save them, and we might run out of questions partially through the show, but we'll just figure that out as we go along. You know. I was thinking if we run out of time, you can just do some kind of improvised song or something, you know?
Yeah, it'll be a journey.
It'll get there. We'll get
yeah.
There. So the first thing we should probably do before we dive into the deep of the questions is I want to get some, like, dumb news stories out of the way first.
Okay.
But first of all, is there any, like, stuff happened this week that we should be bringing up on this episode? I feel like it's been a really slow... week for news and stuff. Just like the last couple weeks of like, oh, there's a hurricane, there's another hurricane, someone died, blah blah blah. Like this week's just doesn't seem like anything happened.
I saw The Big Sick with Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, how did you find
it? It was really good. It wasn't as funny as I thought it would be.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It was really funny. The funniest part of the entire movie for me was his roommate sitting on the couch texting, "Hey girl," to whoever. Like, I laughed so hard, I, like, hurt myself.
To whoever's out there. I liked, what the hell is that guy's name?
The dad.
Ray Romano. He was really funny in that movie. Because he reminded me of my parents. But anyway. Yeah, The Big Sick was really good. I saw that a couple months back at the Alamo. I think Kumail Nanjiani should do more.
Everything.
Make more He's movies. So He's so yeah. good. Did you see... This reminds me. Did you see that... Oh, this was something I want to bring up the show. Did you see Kumail Nanjiani and John Cena are making a buddy cop movie?
That's why I brought this
up. Did you see that?
You shared that news article with me recently.
And you got really excited?
That sounds awesome.
Doesn't that sound great? It's kind of like one of those pairings that, like, you at first you're like, what? And then you're like, that makes complete sense.
That makes total sense. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a buddy cop pairing.
It's kind of got like a Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker kind of vibe to it, you know?
A little different.
But not in any way, but like in the same, like, they're very different people kind of thing.
So I think Kumail is going to be the Jackie in the pairing, if you know what I mean.
But John Cena is the big, like, fighty guy, though.
I know, but like the whole thing about a buddy cop movie is like it's like culture clash.
Oh, okay. So John Cena is like the big tough NYC detective.
Yeah. NYPD. They're always in New York.
NYPD. Sure. Kumail is like
the like secret agent guy from Pakistan or wherever they have him.
Okay. Okay, like a Pakistani. But he's like American. Like, everybody knows he's American, though.
But, I mean, this is a buddy cop movie, though.
Sure. So, like, he comes from Pakistan.
And he's part of their secret police force. He's like a total badass.
Pakistani secret police or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have intelligence that, like, we have, there's a Pakistani gang.
They kidnap the president's daughter. Like, they
it's basically just rush hour. So it's just instead of China, it's Pakistan. It's like the same movie exactly.
It would be perfect.
It's just Rush Hour with John Cena and Kumail Nanjiani. Okay. Yeah. What would be the song that they sing in the car though? You gotta change that, right?
You gotta have the classic change the music scene.
Right. That's integral to that movie. So John Cena would be listening to like what's the song that comes out when John Cena comes out?
I don't know the answer to this, but
John
it would be
Cena
that.
Intro music, yeah. It's like, I don't remember what it's called. Let's see.
I think it's an actual song. I think it's like his own melody that he has.
Yeah, it's like... Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, that song is on the radio, and John Cena is like really rocking out to it. And then Kumail's like, I don't really like this song. And he, like, changed it. And what does he change it to? He changes it to, like, the Beach Boys or something, right?
Yeah, it has to be something, like, really old.
Like, the Mamas and the Papas or, like, ABBA or something like that.
ABBA
right?
would be really good.
ABBA, it's doing, like, Fernando or something. Or, or Mamma Mia or whatever. And then John Cena's like, what are you doing? Don't ever do that. Don't ever touch... my radio ever again. And then they get in a big fight, but then they like bond. That scene really kind of brings them together.
Yeah, that's when they're just like they've hit rock bottom and then that scene
but
happens.
But then after that, like the only place they can go is up as friends.
Yeah.
And they develop.
Like John Cena, he like gets fired from the police force because like he's like.
Or he gets put off the case or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then Kumail's like, no, we have to save the Pakistani president's daughter. He's like friends with her just like in Rush Hour, which was Jackie Chan. It's like the exact same plot. Like it's like one for one. It's like the same movie. They even go remember the scene where they go to
go to the Chinese artifacts. Like they don't even change it to Pakistani artifacts.
It's just Chinese artifacts. It's like the big set piece in the end. Yeah. And they're at a Chinese artifact thing. And like Kumail's like, why are we at a Chinese artifact place? And John Cena's like, don't worry about it.
It's fine.
Do you remember the scene where they go to the Chinese restaurant?
They go to a Chinese restaurant.
So they'd go to a Pakistani restaurant instead.
They get like a shawarma or something.
Yeah, they get shawarma. Yeah, so they go to a Pakistani restaurant, which I think works in this day and age, because back when Rush Hour came out, probably not a whole lot of Pakistani restaurants, but now in New York, I'm sure there's a bunch.
Yeah, there's a ton of you know? Middle Eastern and
so, like, it would totally work that way. They can go to, like, Pakistan...
Just a kebab house.
Pakistan town instead of Chinatown. I don't know if that's a thing. But you could really do, like, a one-to-one Rush Hour. It couldn't be called Rush Hour, though. But I mean,
What are they going to call it? Let's submit a name and see how close we are.
The problem with Rush Hour is like it's such a vague name. Like I don't even understand why the original Rush Hour was called Rush Hour. Like
it's a really good name.
It is a good name, but it doesn't really make any sense to the plot. It's just like Rush Hour. Like you're having fun, you know. I don't know. I think because she got kidnapped during Rush Hour or something. I want to say the girl.
There's like a lot of cars.
I mean, not really.
I know.
What would be the John Cena one? It would be something else hour.
I have no idea.
I got it.
What is it?
I don't got it. I have a way to find out. So I'm going to Google Rush synonyms, and then we're just going to go through the list and see what works. Blitz hour.
No.
Dash hour.
No.
Flood hour. Flow hour. Scramble hour. Stream hour. Surge hour. Charge hour. Dispatch hour? That doesn't really make sense.
How about scramble for something? I don't know anything about Pakistan at all.
Kamel Nanjiani's from Pakistan.
I mean, that's the only
thing. And they have shawarma. Scramble for shawarma.
Shawarma scramble. They can't call it that.
Yes, they can, they will. Well, it's the only thing we've got going here. Scramble for shawarma or shawarma scramble. I don't know which I like better. I think scramble for shawarma has a more kind of ring to it.
But they can't call it that.
Too bad. I mean, what else are you going to call it? That's it.
That's what it's called.
Scramble for shawarma. John Cena's character gets really obsessed with shawarma throughout the movie.
It is really good.
That's another subplot. He gets it with Kumail at the Pakistani restaurant, and then throughout the rest of the movie, he's like, I got to get me some shawarma. I don't know why I spoke like that, but whatever. You know, he's like, I got to get some shawarma, Kumail. And then Kumail shows him all like the good shawarma places in New York, mm-hmm. and then they kind of bond, and then... Yeah, and then they save the day and scramble for shawarma.
They save the Pakistani president's daughter.
The Pakistani from the mob. President's daughter from the Pakistani mob. And there's like an English guy who's like works for, you know, he's like the leader. Remember, because in Rush Hour, there's like an English guy and he's like
the leader. Yeah, he's the bad guy, the main bad guy.
Yeah, it's like the same actor and everything. Like, it's the exact same guy.
they got him again.
he's in it again. Like, he's just... His character even has the same name. Like, it's identical. He's doing the same plot. Like, it's 20 years later, he's pulling off the exact same plot he had in Rush Hour, just in, like, the Pakistani version of that. You know? Like, he's the exact same
thing. I love that.
So it's like a spiritual sequel. Like, it's literally...
I mean, I've been saying this for a really long time, but they really just need to remake every Jackie Chan movie.
I know, right? Because they're all so good. They're all so good.
Yeah.
So Kumail just needs to figure out like some karate, whatever Pakistan's version of martial arts is. He needs to get like real good at that, and then we got it.
Yeah, John Cena's already a martial artist.
Yeah. So, there we go.
Maybe they can swap the roles. Maybe John Cena is like the kung fu one, and mm-hmm. Kumail is like the cool one.
So does John Cena go to Pakistan then?
Oh. No, he knows like wrestling and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, no, I gotcha. So it's still in New York.
Yeah, except he's like the physical martial arts guy, uh-huh. and Kumail is like the gun guy.
He's like the gun. Like, he's got the street smarts and like...
Yeah.
He's good detective and stuff. He's like, mm-hmm. da-da-da. And John Cena's like the brute force. He's like
super, you know,
yeah.
Straight ahead, straight and narrow, by the book.
I gotcha. Yeah, I like this. And it's set in the Rush Hour universe. Because, like I said, the same guy from the first movie you thought he died in the first one? No, he's back. He's doing the exact same.
I'm pretty sure he fell like three stories into a pond.
Well, that's the perfect thing about movies. When people fall, they can always be brought back to life, right?
And he did fall in the water.
Exactly. Like, his head didn't get cut off. He didn't get shot in the head. He didn't get shot a bunch of times. He fell into water. Like, you could totally figure out a way to bring him back, you know? Yeah. I was talking about this recently. Like, whenever they show a movie character fall, they can always have a potential to bring them back in sequels. Whenever they get like shot or like cut, like, you know, usually that means they're dead. But if they fall, like, you could always do something with falling. So, mark my words, that guy's back. Scramble for Shawarma coming to a theater near you very, very soon.
I hope so.
Anyway, I'm excited about that movie. It should be good. Speaking of that movie, not that movie, they're making another... Just get into this now because we brought it up. They're also talking about making another Die Hard movie. Have you heard about this? It literally just broke today, this news.
No, I didn't know about this.
So they're considering doing another Die Hard, and obviously Bruce Willis is back, even though he's like 60 now. But they're thinking about doing it as a prequel / sequel at the same time. So it's going to be like a part sequel, part prequel to Die Hard.
So, like, are they going to get someone else to be John McClane?
I don't know how it's going to work. They haven't really revealed it. They just said that we're going to do a Die Hard sequel. It's going to be a prequel / sequel at the same time. I'm guessing half the movie's going to be a prequel, half the movie's going to be a sequel. Don't know how that's going to work, but there you go. So...
I don't understand how they're going to do a prequel. Like,
well, this is how I can imagine. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do like a sequel where it's like John McClane and he's like old.
Right.
And he's like doing his last big case right before he like retires.
Yeah.
And the case, like all like, it like mirrors a case he had when he was like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that he never solved. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's just, like, he has to revisit that in his old age and, like, tie up a loose end. So, like, there's this thing 30 years ago, as a cop, he, like, was on this case, like, as a New York detective, he was on this case, and he, like, got caught up in, like, some mob thing, and he was, like, hunting down some guy he tried to, like, arrest, but they got away, and, like, he never saw him again. 30 years later, there's rumors that guy's back, or 20 years later, whatever, there's rumors that guy's back, and he's like, shit, I gotta, like, do this.
That's how he made Detective originally, is this big case. Like, his work on this groundbreaking
case. Oh, he did so good.
Like, he did so good. I mean, he didn't even catch him.
This was, like, right before Die Hard 1 or something like that. You know,
that's how he got that, you know. I mean, even though he wasn't really assigned to the case in Die Hard 1, he was just there by happenstance.
Right. But same kind of deal.
Yeah.
So then in Die Hard, in the future, he's, like, revisiting the case. So it jumps back and forth a lot, you know.
That's maybe this can be another case that he kind of just want, like he was a security guard or something, and he just wanders into this really epic mob ordeal.
Oh, like back in the day?
Yeah, like the same thing happens.
But then in the future, he's like a detective, right?
Yeah, and they have to go to him because he was the one that was there. Even though he was really inexperienced, he was probably like writing parking tickets.
Okay, so it's like an Alien 2 kind of thing. Right, or an Aliens kind of thing. Like, oh, we got to get her or him because they have experience doing this before, you know.
And then they complain, like, oh, she's a civilian. We can't take her.
It's like, well, she's the only one that killed an alien before, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of deal.
It's, yeah, exactly. McClane,
like, oh, he dealt with these guys 30 years ago. He's the only one that can do it now. We just wrote... I think that's the outline. That's a
damn good Die Hard.
I think that's the outline right there, because they're probably trying to figure out a way to have Bruce Willis in the movie, but also have, like, a young person that they can, like, make future Die Hards with. Mm-hmm. And this is it. That's just the answer, to do it like that.
It's going to be very weird to see a non-Bruce Willis John McClane.
Have you seen Looper?
Yeah.
You know how they, like, dress up Joseph Gordon-Levitt as, like, young Bruce Willis? Have you seen that?
Looper, about. The time travel movie?
Yeah, the time travel movie. You know, Bruce Willis is in that. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is also in that, and he plays a young version of Bruce Willis's character.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I just remember it was weird.
Anyway, they, like, make Joseph Gordon-Levitt look kind of like Bruce Willis. Like, they give him, like, the Bruce Willis look, if you will.
Okay.
So, it's not super convincing, but it's possible, I guess you could say. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's something. So, the big question, I think, here... Right, is what is this movie called? They've used every imaginable permutation of Die Hard, I think.
Die Hardest.
Right? Like, Die Hardest. Like, they've used Die Hard, Die Harder.
Live Free and Die Hard.
Live Free or Die Hard. It's a Good Day to Die Hard. I don't even remember what the third one. Oh, Die Hard with a Vengeance. So, like, what's left?
Die Hard Apocalypse. Die Hard Ultimatum.
Die Hard Apocalypse. That would be the 21st century movie name.
Die Hard Retribution.
That's oh my god, stop.
It's even worse.
Like, why does every like sequel reboot have to have like a colon and then have to use Apocalypse or Retribution or whatever?
The Born Die Hard.
The Born Ultimate Die Hard. They already did Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah.
But what if they had, like, Live to Die Hard?
Born to Die Hard.
Born to Die Hard.
I just cracked it. That's the one.
That's it. That's it. Born to Die Hard. Because it's, like, his origin story, too, at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
the Oh, see, character. This works on, like, multiple levels. And then at the end, he dies.
Of course.
Yes. Like, old Bruce Willis dies. Old John McClane dies. Mm-hmm. But the beauty is they can still make more movies with the young version, just like as in between side stories, like they do with every Die Hard, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Born to Die Hard. And then he dies in the end. And then it's his origin story. I was going to say it would be born to, like with the letter, t- with the word, with the number. With the they have but I know it's not a sequel.
It's not a sequel. No, that's the next prequel. Born to Die Hard Retribution.
Born to... Born to Die
Hard. See, you're getting ahead of yourself here.
So what would be three then? Born three Die Harder? Born to Die Harder, and then with the E, with the E is a three.
Oh my god.
Harder with the E as a three. Yeah. But it still has two, like, in there. Well, it's born at the number two, die harder with the three as the E.
Yeah.
And then people would be like, what the hell is even going on with this series anymore? Like, Bruce Willis isn't even in it anymore. He's long retired as an actor. And whoever the new person is in is
Black. Back in the Blockbuster days, that would be funny to see on the shelves. Like, just the procession of
They would have hard, the first hard. Row of all, like, yeah. the originals. And then, yeah, Born to Die Hard. And
then
hard.
The name starts going weird.
Born to Die Hard, Born to Die Hard, Born to Die Harder with the three. I think we just cracked the case. We need to get whoever does Die Hard movies on the phone and pitch this, because, like, I feel like we just made them, like, multiple million dollars with this idea. Do you want to get into our listener questions now? Are you prepared for this?
No. I mean, as prepared as
we'll be. It doesn't sound like you're prepared at all.
This train has already
it's left the started station.
Going.
It's I had, left the station. I did find, like, some dumb news story, I guess, I could share with you. We can, like, kind of segue into weird news, into listener questions with this. So, we like restaurant stories, and we like animal stories. Yeah. So, this one has both. This one features both. So, in Virginia, Fredericksburg, Virginia, a venomous snake bit a woman's foot inside a Longhorn steakhouse. And, I mean, all I really had for the story was the headline, because it was so funny. But she's alive. She's fine. Nothing's wrong with her. But she was inside a Longhorn on September 12th, and she felt three bites on her foot. And she looked down, and there was a venomous snake. It doesn't say what kind of snake it was. I think
let's say it was a rattlesnake. I mean, it's a Longhorn, right?
In Virginia, it's a Longhorn. Yeah. Longhorn Steakhouse. I feel like Longhorn is like the perfect restaurant to get bitten by a snake.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of got that cowboy vibe already, you know?
Yeah, that's why I say rattlesnake for sure. I mean, you would definitely hear a rattlesnake. They are very loud.
And then the surfer would come over and be like, ma'am, you should have been, excuse me, ma'am, you should have been wearing your cowboy boots or you wouldn't have this problem right now. I'm imagining that's how they all talk in Longhorn Steakhouse.
That's the statement issued from their lawyer. Like, listen, she wasn't wearing her cowboy
she
boots.
She ain't wearing her cowboy boots. We can't be held liable for that. Darn tootin. Yeah, so that's how I would imagine that going down. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know how a snake gets into a restaurant, but apparently it does.
We actually get snakes in our office all the time.
But are they venomous snakes?
Not yet. Mm. They're mostly just garden snakes. I think there's... But I mean, I'm sure it works the same way with a venomous snake. Like, when it starts to get, like, cold outside. Like, we've had a few snakes in our office in the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like the snake man where I work. Everybody calls me to get the snake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're the snake man, huh?
Yeah. We just get snakes that come in. Maybe it's the same for that area.
Is it, like, near the windows or, like, near the doors or whatever? Or is
it's
like
near random? The same door every time.
So they, like, wiggle in when someone opens the door, essentially?
I think they can fit under the door sometimes.
Mm. We get like little bitty lizards like trying to get into our house all the time.
Speaking of those lizards, like, have you ever been in a server room with like a giant server rack?
Yeah, I have.
Like in once. Every server room I've ever been in, there's always like the dead lizard that's
there. In the corner or something,
and no one ever moves it. No, like every server room I've ever.
But where been is in. The lizard? Where is the dead lizard?
It's either on a shelf or on the floor or like. But there's always a lizard.
Why?
I don't know. And no one ever moves these things.
It's just like an unspoken thing. There's always like, lizards. There's always a dead lizard in the server room.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone else has made that observation. Probably.
I mean, I'm sure if you worked in like a high-end like center, wouldn't have lizards.
Dude, maybe that's like an inside joke for like server engineers. They compare the lizards. It's like, there's Jimmy, he's been there for 15 years.
Or we can't move him now.
Can't move him now. He's good luck or something.
That's... I've said a similar thing to people that have come in the server room. Like someone will say, you know, you got a dead lizard there. Like, no, that's just Jeff.
He's permanent now. We can't move him.
He was here when I got here. He has seniority over me. I can't move him.
He's your boss. I feel like whenever, like, I leave something around, not necessarily a dead animal, but, like, when there's something you leave that's in some position for long enough, it reaches some point where it's like, well, I've never moved it before, and I'm not going to start now.
Yeah.
So, like, you cross the threshold where you're like, well, whatever.
I mean, if I was going to move this, I would have done it.
I would have done it, like, a year ago. Yeah. and that ship has sailed, you know? So Jeff the lizard is just going to chill out. I feel like... if they have, like, server engineer, like, meet and greets, I wonder if they talk about their lizards. The lizards. It's like, so what kind you got in your server room? It's like, oh, we've got an albino, horny toad. That's not a lizard, but whatever.
One of them has a frog.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, whoa, this is a frog guy. Check this guy out. He's got a frog in his server room. I wonder if they do it to stay warm or something.
Yeah, it's really hot in those rooms, so... Yeah.
They're probably looking for warmth.
And then they just die and become just Jeff. Die
because they can't do anything else.
Yeah.
And then they're in every server. I never knew that, but it's a fun fact. Back to the story really quick. So the snake was immediately stomped to death by the girl's boyfriend and her son. So that's kind of a sad ending to the story.
I don't know what they solved by doing that. Like,
she went to the hospital, she was given anti-venom, and she's fine now. And now, in a statement, Longhorn Steakhouse has said that its staff is looking into how it happened, and they are taking steps to prevent it from happening again.
That's good.
Like, what do you do? Like, how do you snake-proof your Longhorn Steakhouse? I just don't know the answer to that.
I think you got to call a snake man.
You got to call a snake man. You got to call, yeah, somebody. All right. Do you have something, or do you want to launch into questions at this
point? I think you have all the questions, so... All right,
let's do it. Well, did you have a news story? I don't know if you had one you wanted to share.
I have one. Do you want me to do it?
I mean, if you think it's good, then we can do it. If you don't want to do it, I feel like we're just forestalling the inevitable here. Of like, how long can we take to do other things that aren't listener questions so we don't awkwardly run out of questions in the middle of the show?
Let's get going with those listener questions.
Okay, we have listener questions today. Thank you, listeners. I'm not going to name who sent them in because I have too many. I lost track, quite frankly. But it looks like we have about six here, maybe five. I don't know. I can't count very well. The first question is, Dear The Time Bat Show, when I was a kid, I thought for sure we'd have flying cars by the time I grew up. When you were a kid, what did you think would be the most advanced piece of technology you'd have as an adult, and why?
I think just better video games.
That's it? And better video games. That's your only answer. You didn't think we're going to have flying cars when you were an adult?
No.
So I thought we were going to have flying something. Like, well, not necessarily flying, but I thought we were going to have something. Like, if not flying cars, then like a hoverboard.
I thought we'd have a hoverboard, actually.
Yeah, I think everyone thought. It's damn Back to the Future
part 2. We do, but they just kind of like suck.
Hoverboards are like the most disappointing thing. Like, yeah. Every year they make a new one, and it's like, we got a hoverboard. Like, we really did it this time. Really. And then they show it, and you're like, why would I ever want to hoverboard on this
thing? It's like, you need an entire stadium filled with super cooled semiconductors.
And then you can hoverboard, and it only can go 2 miles an hour.
And you have to weigh less than 70 pounds.
Right. And it's like, what? Why would I do that? Or like, it's like either that or like, all right, the only requirement is you need to have a giant swimming pool filled with water, and you need to equip, and you need to have a bunch of canisters of high pressure air to
and
supply
it's really your loud. You need to wear earmuffs.
And you need to go out in the middle of nowhere, because if you did this in a neighborhood, all your neighbors would call in like noise complaints on you, and you'd get arrested. And it only runs for about 3 minutes, and then it just falls into the water. So be sure you can swim really well.
Make sure it doesn't go in the water, or else it'll
because
break.
Then it'll break. There's like so many like problems.
It's like objectively worse than a skateboard in every single way.
Like literally every way. Yeah. There was one I remember seeing, and it was one that didn't use any of these fancy, like, you didn't need any, like, you know, the track didn't need to be a specific way. Like, it didn't need to be, like, magnets or water or whatever. But it was, like, this giant block of metal, basically. And the way it worked is it, like, pushed air down, like, as you would expect a hoverboard to do. But the issue with the thing was it was kind of like an air hockey table kind of deal, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, never mind. They did need a special surface. I just realized that. I thought this was like the one that didn't, but it totally did. Because I think the surface was like hyper like smoothed or something like that. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's one of those like frictionless.
Yeah.
Like,
because
very
if it's,
low friction.
Because if it's not frictionless, the thing can't work. But the issue with it was like it only hovered like a millimeter above the ground, because it couldn't hover higher because it's using the force of the air to like hover the board.
If there like, was like a grain of sand on
the
track,
you would just crash. And like, what's the point of hovering in a hoverboard if like it's the same as a skateboard effectively, because it's basically just touching the ground at that point. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
No, it's the so stupid. The draw of having a hoverboard is so that you can go across surfaces that are uneven. And you can't do that in a skateboard.
The draw of the hoverboard is you can hover. You can freaking hover.
Like in Back to the Future.
Like in Back to the Future.
Where Marty McFly, you know, he gets the super hoverboard and attaches it to the back of a car and, like, goes over a whole, like, pond. That's cool.
But yeah, you can't do that on, hoverboard that uses, like, magnets and, like, the other one that uses, like, a giant air hockey rink to, like, make it work. That's one of the disappointing things, hoverboards. I also thought we would have more advanced, like technology for, what the hell is it called? Like, body technology, you know?
Cyborg implants.
Yeah, like, cybernetic stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you watch movies and everyone's like half robot or whatever.
They all make that sound.
They do. They're all... but everyone has like cybernetics in the future. And like, it's weird because the future has gone like the way that people did not expect it to go at all. Mm-hmm. Like, back in the 80s, everyone thought we'd have like flying cars, hoverboards.
We would all wear tinfoil.
We'd all like have this weird... Yeah, this weird wardrobe. There'd be androids and robots and cyborgs and stuff. But instead it's like, no, none of that happened. But instead we have this thing called the internet that no one expected. So we went in a different direction. I don't know. But yeah, robots I think is a good one. I thought we'd have more robots. You know, like I thought we'd have like legit robots. Now I realize that's stupid. Like that's not going to happen, but... Back when I was like 12 or 13, I was like, oh, robots. We're going to have robots.
Like, of course, they're in every movie.
They're in every movie. Like, technology advances so fast that robots are obviously going to be a thing. And as a kid, like, technology did advance really fast. Like, when you were a kid, it's like, wow, like, the computers are getting really, really good really fast. So, yeah, like,
the time between PlayStation and PlayStation 2 and, like, the difference between those two. Yeah,
and you're like, whoa, you know? And then, like, Windows, you know, 3.1 to, like, XP or whatever, computers. Yeah. And then by the time you get cell phones when you're a teenager, like, whoa, like, this is happening really fast. So you just assume, like, okay, if technology can go that fast, obviously we're gonna have robots soon, you know?
Like, that's the most basic one.
Duh. Like that's the one we've wanted.
If you're playing a game like Master of Orion 2 and you're going through the tech tree, like, robotics is, like, way before the internet. Like,
exactly. You're like, I want robotics first. Like, that's the first thing everyone assumes.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing is, like, we've had robots for a while, but we haven't had smart robots ever. So the big hurdle is, like, intelligence, right? Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, robots are just super expensive and dangerous. So. Mm-hmm.
And dumb.
Yeah.
Not super smart. I don't know. Artificial intelligence is a very troubling, it's a very hard question to solve. And I don't think there's any, I don't know. A lot of scientists have, like, not given up on it, but they're like, oh yeah, this isn't happening, and, like, this isn't going to happen for another, like, 300 years. Like, they've just admitted, like, yeah, this isn't happening anytime
soon. Yeah, I mean, as far as sentient computers go, but there's some really cool algorithms for, like, sorting data really fast.
Oh, and, yeah, for sure. But, yeah.
But not, that's, like, a robot that's like, cool. Hey, Jimmy,
but that, yeah, today it's cool. Right, exactly. There's no... There's a big difference between sorting, like, your mail and, like, hey, Jimmy, how's it going? Do you want a PB&J? And there's, like, sure, Robo Bob 3000. And he's like,
I know PB&J is your favorite sandwich.
I know it's your favorite sandwich, Jimmy. And then he's like, I love you, Robo Bob. He's like, I love you too, Jimmy. You're the best little boy. And then, you know, he makes PB&J. But yeah, we don't have Robo Bob 3000. I think we all wanted that. You know, I was expecting to, like, come home from work and be waited on hand and foot by a robot, and that's not happening, and that makes me sad.
Can you imagine how many accidents there would be if Robobob existed? Like, the kind of just horrible stuff that would happen.
People would die. That's what would happen.
Like, in the middle of making the pain.
He uses, like, a butcher knife or something. He's like, I can make it faster if I use this butcher knife, Jimmy. He's like, that's not safe, Robobob. And then, like, one of his capacitors malfunctions and he, like, loses the grip of the knife and the cat, and he, like, kills the cat or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And then he tries to clean up the cat, but one of his.
He's like, oh no, Jimmy, the cat is like, little Oswald is taken ill. Oh, don't worry, Jimmy, I'll clean this up before your mom gets home.
He just, like, makes a big mess of everywhere.
And then it takes him, like, an hour to clean up all the blood and, like, cat remains and stuff. And he, like, puts it in, like, a garbage bin. And then he takes it out to the trash. And like, he comes back in. He's, like, going out with the trash, with the cat, like, obviously in the trash. And Jimmy's like, are you sure this is going to be okay? And then, like, Robobob turns to little Jimmy, and he has the trash bag slung over his shoulder, kind of like Santa Claus. And he turns to Jimmy, and he, like, winks at him. And he says, like, don't worry, Jimmy, your mom will never have to know. Oh, God.
There's a really good book by John Sladek that is, like, this situation. Like, Robobob goes bad. It's called TikTok. It's really good. You would like it.
TikTok? Yeah. Science fiction. It's like robots?
Yeah. It's about a robot that, this robot becomes sentient. He's not just, like, accidentally killing things. Okay. And he just kills his entire caretaker family.
Oh, no.
It's TikTok. a comedy.
It's though. A comedy.
It's
a dark comedy.
It's a very, like, dark comedy. Yeah.
I need to read that. That sounds good. But yeah, if robots existed, like, the beta test phase would be rough. You know, like, that first 5 to 10 years, like, I'm not going to own a robot in the first five. Like, I would wait it out and be like, all right, once all the bugs are fixed, like, figured out, then we'll adopt a robot. But
yeah.
Before that, you could have, like, a lot of something
as
accidents.
Simple as cooking is just...
Yeah, like, cooking is so dangerous. Like, if you think about it.
There's boiling water and sharp objects and...
I know. That's why I'm so scared of robots driving cars. Because, like, you know how dangerous driving a car is? It's incredibly dangerous. And somehow we don't get into accidents. And I get that robots will be able to, like, communicate with each other when they're driving, but still, one bad, you know, one short circuit and
it's like,
some terrible
stuff. Have the people that want to do that, like, seen what happens when a computer goes, like...
Right, exactly.
Goes wrong.
Like, when... Yeah, we've talked about this in the show before, but it's like, when one mistake happens, they just keep adding up and adding up and adding up. Like, whereas a human, you make a mistake and you're like, I'm done. I have to stop.
Yeah.
Like, when a computer makes a mistake, it's like, they don't even know they made a mistake. So they're like, this is right. This is the way to do it. I'm supposed to be driving on the wrong side of the road. This is how it's supposed to be.
Everyone else is wrong.
Everyone else is wrong, and I'm right. And they just keep going. They're just like, until they, like, crash. Then they're like, okay, I must have made a mistake at some point. But I don't know what it is. Yeah. Whereas humans are like, oh, shit, I made a mistake. I need to stop what I'm doing. But yeah, this is goes back to the making peanut butter and jelly. He would just be like, I'm using a butcher knife. It's like, this is the right knife to make peanut butter and jelly.
It was in the butter knife hole.
It was in the butter knife place. So he's like, this must be it. Oh, God. Yeah.
The cat is where the jelly should have been. And it's just like, well, you're getting a cat sandwich now.
You're getting a cat sandwich, Jimmy. He's like, I don't like cat.
And then it's your favorite. It's your favorite.
No, RoboBob, it's not my favorite. And he's like, I would know, Jimmy. I know everything about you. Oh, God. All right. That's funny. I think we've answered that question well enough. Next question. Dear Time Bat Show, what is this podcast even about? That's a good question.
I don't know.
So, I opined to Twitter. I was like, hey, Twitter, we need some questions for the show. And one of the first responses I got was, what is this podcast even about? So let's try to answer that in the next 2 minutes.
It's about getting answers.
That's good. I was going to say, give me your... About stuff? You had a good start, and then you said stuff. I was going to say, give me like a... Like if we were going to write a description of our show in like TV Guide. Not that TV Guide exists anymore. But you know how they had those like really small blurbs about a show you're about to watch?
Yeah.
What would it say for this show?
It would be like... So, Time Aces and Bat Snacks answer your questions about life. And
the universe and everything.
No. The universe and everything. And that's... Yeah, it's just talk. I don't know.
That is a compelling answer. No, I don't know. I don't know either.
The description is, it's just talk. Like
it's just talk, TM. We trademarked that. It's just talk, TM. I feel like we have this issue when I tell people in real life, which I don't very tell very often, that I have a podcast. They're like, oh, what is it about? And I'm like, well, it's about some things, and other things, and, you know, I don't really have a way to describe it. And yeah. I think that's it's a problem to sell people on it, because they're like, I don't know.
I don't want to listen to that. Like,
I don't want to listen to that. I don't know what that's about, you know? That's like turning on a TV, right, and there being, like, a show called... ? Show, and you're like, what is that about?
Mr. Show is an excellent show, though.
Yeah, that's a great example, actually.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that about? And only a few people will tune in out of sheer curiosity.
Yeah.
Me being one of them, but most people will be like, I'll watch The Office again instead, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about office humor.
Clearly, because that's the title of the show. But yeah, it's hard to describe our show. I think... We should challenge ourselves to not write on the spot, but come up with like a one sentence description that encapsulates the essence of the Time Bat Show. That's your homework for next week.
Time Aces and Bat Snacks talk about funny things in life. Because we don't really talk about serious things.
We talk about funny things, but not silly things. We draw the line at silly.
We draw the line at silly, yeah.
Drawing the line at silly. We can talk about serious things occasionally. We don't get into, like, the weeds of seriousness. We're not like, oh, did you hear this depressing news story? Let's talk about that for 45 minutes. We don't really do that.
Yeah, like, we don't do...
Okay, we don't talk about serious things, but we occasionally talk about deep things.
Yeah, that's different, though, than Sirius.
It is different. Sirius is like... Blah, 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 blah.
Sirius is like, blah, 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 I have opinions, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah. You have to do like that.
Deep
blah,
is like, blah, blah, I don't know.
What is life?
Yeah, what is...
What is the Time Bat show about? What is it really about? Why don't we have hoverboards now? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the answer, I guess, to give this person... Because we have to answer this person, like... It's our duty to answer them now. Yeah. So what is our answer?
My answer is I just want to talk about stuff that doesn't...
Suck.
That doesn't suck. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, like, alienate people or doesn't... That people don't... That shouldn't have, like, really strong opinions about. This is, like,
the longest run-on sentence ever.
Yeah.
Like that also isn't this and
like
not that.
Anything that anyone could have, like, a really strong opinion about... is probably not something that we would talk about on this show.
Oh, I feel like plenty of people have strong opinions about what should be in the Die Hard sequel, but...
Yeah, but they're really stupid.
we'll leave that for another time, I guess. Dear Time Bat Show, what is your favorite Led Zeppelin song? This was sent in, apparently, by someone I don't know, but they sent it in earlier today.
As a kid, I really liked Communication Breakdown.
Mm-hmm. The punk song. If you will. Sure, that's a good answer. I respect that answer.
you won't judge me for liking that song as a kid.
No, it's a good song. As a kid, I also like that song. My favorite Led Zeppelin song is Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? Probably. Today it is. Tomorrow it might be something else. Or Ramble On. Those are my two top picks. So there you go. That was an easy question.
What about Black Dog?
That's a good song, too. Yeah, did you know really Black like Dog is... sorry, this is probably...
Let's hear it. No, come on.
So it's written in... So the drum part in Black Dog is in 4-4 time, but the rest of the song is not. So if you listen to it closely, you'll hear that the drum beat and the guitar parts don't sync up, like, at all, except every, like, 12th beat or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds fine because, I don't know, it just does.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a really weird musical... signature that doesn't make any sense.
I've always really liked how that song sounds because it sounds unusual, and I never knew why, but
yeah, that's why, because the drums are 4-4 and everything else is, they basically do what they want, and then it syncs up occasionally and sometimes it doesn't. I don't know why it sounds good, but because it does. But there you go, that's my fun fact about that song. But it's a good song, so there you go. What is my next question? Any other final thoughts about that? That's good. That was a good question.
I actually don't listen to Led Zeppelin very much.
Well, I do. I think a lot of people know. Maybe they don't. I don't think I talk about that a lot. You're my favorite.
You're a very big Led Zeppelin fan.
I'm a fan of a lot of music in that time period. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. You like your rock and roll.
I do. I do like old rock and roll. I like old music in general. I listen to a lot of music from like 1966 to like 1979. Like, I know a lot about music then, and I like it a lot. So I like a lot of rock and roll and blues rock and progressive and heavy metal, I guess you could say, of the time period. So, anyway. That's what I do, like, every day at work. Just listen to music. Well, obviously, and work. But
no, just
that's my playlist. I just chill.
Put on a record.
Smoke a joint, put on a record, and anyone could just bother me. I'll be like, no, listen to Dark Side of the Moon again. Get out of here. I just meant that's, you know, rotationally what's always on my work playlist. All right, so what, dear Time Bat Show, what is the best romantic comedy? That's a good question. So first of all, you have to admit that you've seen a romantic comedy in order to answer this question.
I will admit, I like romantic comedies.
You like them?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I really do, like, sincerely.
Okay, that's fine. I will say I like some of them, like The Big Sick. That's technically a romantic comedy. I thought it was great.
That was great.
I loved that movie. I thought it was fantastic. And technically, that's a romantic comedy. And then there are other movies that I have seen that are romantic comedies that I like. But there are a lot that I've seen that I don't like. So, anyway, what is your favorite?
It's hard to pick a favorite, but the first one that came to mind was Starman.
I don't think I've ever seen Starman.
It's a John Carpenter movie. I just learned before the show. Like, I had to Google it, and I was like,
John Carpenter made a romantic comedy?
He did.
I don't believe you.
No, he really did. It's about an alien man.
Is this the one with Jeff Bridges in it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I've heard about this. I think I've seen clips of it, but I've never seen the whole movie.
He comes to Earth,
and,
like, it's a romantic comedy. He meets a woman.
Uh-huh. And they fall in love.
Yeah.
So he's like an alien man and like a woman.
It's really sweet, actually. I think you would really enjoy it.
So it's John Carpenter.
Yeah.
This is so weird that he made that movie.
It is really... It's a very
like,
weird
movie. Every other movie in his filmography is like really dark. I don't think I can think of a non-dark... Oh,
Big Trouble.
Big Trouble in Little China. This is like fun phase. Escape from New York is also dark, but it has like that fun edge to it.
Yeah.
But everything is like violent and like there's like a lot of darkness to it. But yeah, romantic comedy. I wonder why he wanted to do that. He's just like, I could use something different.
He was feeling romantic. inspired.
I needed, okay, that's on my to-do list, go see Starman. So that would be your favorite?
Yeah, Starman was, I also really like True Romance by, that was Quentin's romantic comedy.
Is that technically a romantic comedy?
It totally is.
I mean, but don't people die in that movie?
A lot of people die.
Like, I guess it's a romantic comedy. It's not a romantic comedy.
It's a Quentin romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's not a romantic comedy in the classic romantic comedy sense. No, where there's no death and people get together.
Neither is Starman, though. Starman is more science fiction.
Sure, but like I could see that being more classical because like romantic comedy because it's like sure one of the characters is an alien, but it's still about their relationship. Yeah. And them being in love. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen True Romance in a while. Maybe that is the core part of that movie, being in love.
It's actually not so much a comedy now that I think about it. It's more like an action romance.
Action romance.
That sounds like such a good genre. Action romance.
Why hasn't that taken off?
I don't know.
Right? Action romance? That's like the coolest genre I've ever heard.
I love True Romance. It's a really good movie.
Action romance.
Action romance.
So, you know, after thinking about the genre action romance a little more, it sounds a little too risque for, you know what I mean?
Like I didn't even take it.
You could go one of two ways with that. You could have like an action romance movie that's like an action movie with romantic elements to it. Yeah. And then you can go the other way where it's like the romance has a lot of action in it, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
But I like the first one. I like the action romance where it's like,
Mr. and Miss Smith with Brad.
Yeah,
and
that's kind of an action romance. So the two main characters, instead of buddy cop, it's like they're together. They're like a pair. They're like in love. And they are the heroes in the action movie, essentially.
Yeah.
And maybe the movie, we've been talking about buddy cop movies a lot this episode. That's okay. Maybe they start out as partners, like a man and a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really like each other at first. But then their love kind of... The battlefield brings them together, if you will.
No, that's a real thing. Will, like people struggling like that who have to work together to survive.
Yeah, yeah. So they have to like bonds. Do some. Yeah. You know, they have to like go undercover and like drug kingpin or something, and like they form a bond and they like.
Yeah. And like, so like one of them gets hurt though.
Oh yeah.
And then they can't do it anymore because they don't want to see him get hurt anymore.
Right. And then there's this whole thing, you know. And then the beginning of the movie is more like an action movie. And then the end is kind of shifts. Like you care more about the characters being together than you do about them like fixing the like finding the evil crime boss. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Deep. It's deep.
Have you seen The Adjustment Bureau?
I have, yes.
It's another good romantic comedy.
Emily Blunt.
Not comedy,
maybe. It's not really a romantic comedy. That's based on a Philip K. Dick book.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. I enjoy that movie.
I thought it was okay. I like the short story a lot better, but...
It was really good.
I thought it was
really good.
It was good. You thought it was really good. I need to watch it again. I've only seen
the whole movie leads up to one chase scene at the end. Not to like spoil it, but...
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess our listeners might know.
Yeah.
It was a good chase sequence.
It was a really good chase sequence, though.
It was a good chase sequence. Okay, last question. This is our last one. Are you sure? Are you ready for the last one that we have?
I'm prepared.
It's a really good one. Dear the Time Bet Show, I really love tacos, but I feel like I have gotten the most out of them that I can. Trouble is, I want more. How do I make my love of how do I take my love of tacos to the next level?
You know, this is something I've wondered myself.
How do I take my love of tacos to the next level?
Well, so it depends on how you're how you're reading into that.
Well, let's read it into it in like the most benign, like nice way we can possibly read into it. Like, the let's give this person the benefit of the doubt, if you will.
Okay, like a serious, like a, how can like you, how can
really
you
really love
do
tacos?
It?
Okay, yeah. So like, let's paint a picture. I don't know the circumstances behind the question, but let's say this person eats tacos every day, you know, maybe multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. He has like, he or she has like 4 or 5 taco restaurants in town that he goes to all the time. You know, they love tacos. They can't
like
get enough.
Pictures of tacos in
you
his
know, room. He loves tacos.
You know, well, most people yet. Have like pictures of their family in their wallet. Uh-huh. He has pictures of tacos.
Well, see, I was going to say he's not there yet because that's the next level.
Okay.
Oh, maybe he does.
That's
maybe
where he wants to get.
Maybe he's there already. Maybe he's at the picture phase. Like, oh, this taco looks really good. I'm going to snap a picture of it.
Keep
maybe
it in my
that's,
wallet.
Maybe that's... keep it in my wallet. So, like, when he's at, like, a barbecue and everyone's showing off pictures of their sons, he's like, hey, look.
He's like a fighter pilot. You know how, like, when the fighter pilot's about to crash and he takes out... He's like, I loved this taco. It's the best taco I've ever had.
And they like rub it with their finger. They're like, oh no.
And he like puts it on the dashboard so he can look at it while he's like about to die in a fiery plane crash.
It's like the best taco I've ever had. Oh God. You're just, everything you draw from is that like end scene of Independence Day.
That man is a lot, is very, very inspirational to me.
He means a lot to you. Yeah. Like, you got the crop dusting thing from like a couple episodes back from that guy. You got this from that guy. You want to be that guy, don't you?
I totally do.
You want to be that guy. I knew it. But yeah, they have a picture in their wallet of the taco. And when they're at like a barbecue or something, everyone's showing pictures of their children. Like, oh, look, this is my kid. And he like brings out the picture of the taco. And he's like, this is the best taco I've ever had. Check
you know, this
out.
Mental image isn't going to go away of that man being the taco man.
He's the perfect person like, to be the taco him. Guy. The guy from Independence Day, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
he's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the taco guy.
He wants and to take got, his love of tacos.
He got to do the like accent, like the weird accent he has. Like, this is my favorite taco I've ever had. I don't know how to do his accent. It's kind of like a southern.
I kind of have to yell to do it. But
do your best.
No, I can't right now.
Please. It's our 52nd episode.
What should I say?
Just be like, I love this taco.
I love this taco. It's there the best taco I've ever had.
That was pretty good. Yeah, he, like, takes it out at gatherings and shows everyone. Okay, anyway, so we're at, you know, taco person, taco man, is that eats tacos, has a couple pictures of, like, the tacos he really loves. What's next? What's the next level? Like, if his life is going to revolve around tacos, what's the next step?
You know what I mean? I think next is to go on, like, a taco voyage across the world.
Oh, yes, that's a good idea. Like a taco... What's a good word for it? Pilgrimage.
Yeah, that's a good word.
the taco pilgrimage, if you will, right?
You got to go to like the places where tacos began, like in Latin America,
South
somewhere.
America somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
You go there. There's probably like some like
there's some, a taco like, temple.
I love how we're on the exact same.
It's like Indiana Jones.
There's some like monks that are like shut off from society.
Taco monks.
They're like making tacos. And they like hand make the flour tortillas and stuff. And you have to like walk through the rainforest for like 2 days or something.
Yeah.
And then finally you get to the taco temple, which is shaped like a taco, obviously.
And first they shun you. You have to go through some trials to be worthy. Mm.
What would the trials be?
You have to
You can't eat a taco for a day or something like that. No. To understand the taco, you must first understand.
You must become the taco.
So you have to like wrap yourself in a like
in
you have
their
to like
big ceremonial tortilla
and sleep outside for like 3 days in the rain or something because it's the rainforest, right?
Yeah.
And then once that's over, they're like, you've now become with the taco.
Okay, so they take everything from you. And then they sequester you to a remote area in the rainforest. And they're like, you must make tacos.
Like with what you have?
With everything you have.
And you're like, I don't have any meat. And they're like, just figure it out.
Figure it out.
And then depending on how good of a taco you make, yeah. you have to give them like one of your tacos.
Yeah. And then,
and then they're like,
you bring it to the altar.
Right. You place it on the altar. And then they like,
and the taco either, chief eats it.
Taco chief. He either accepts or denies it. It's like, yes. this taco I deem acceptable. And then, like, a really big, like, stone door goes, like, it opens up, like, Indiana Jones style. It's like, and then you step into the taco temple, and there's, like, hundreds of people in there, like, making tacos.
Yeah.
And they're all training to be the best. Maybe not hundreds, maybe, like, 30 people.
You know, like, old martial arts movies when, you know, they first open the Shaolin temple, and you see all the dudes in there, like, doing
The training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have, like, rows of people, like, training like that. Like, slapping the flower.
Like, they're doing, like, it looks like they're doing martial arts a little, but, like, they're actually just, like, folding flour and, like, putting ingredients in.
They're putting, like, the dough in the tortilla presser, and they have, like, a move where they...
They have, like, a move. Like, a martial arts move they use. They're, like, and they, like, have to verbalize it, so they're, like, yeah, or something. Hoo-ah, or whatever.
Exactly.
The taco temple. So, you would go to the taco temple somewhere in Latin America, in the rainforest, and then find the taco temple, and then you'd be enlightened into the ways of making the perfect taco.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
That's it. That's all you gotta do. Easy question. I was gonna say, my first answer was be like, oh, you could have like a shrine to tacos in your house, you know. But that's so pedestrian compared to going on the taco pilgrimage. You could start
like an Instagram where you post pictures of your tacos.
Like, I was going to say something like that. Like, oh, you get a little part of your room dedicated to tacos. You have like an Instagram. It's like, no, screw that.
You need to go to the taco temple.
Taco temple. Take the taco pilgrimage. Learn the ways of the taco by the taco chief.
And then come back a master of tacos.
And then come back a master. And then just own the taco, like whatever town you live in, you'll be like the taco master.
Yeah.
Like you can open as many taco restaurants and people will go there, and you know, no one will ever know how you found it or whatever. It's like in Doctor Strange, like he goes to that one place in the Himalayas or whatever, and nobody knows it's there. It's like in every movie.
Yeah, it's like 36 Chamber of Shaolin, where he goes and learns Shaolin martial arts and brings it back to the middle of nowhere. Village.
And nobody knows what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And he's the taco master now. And that's how you and that's how you take your tacos to the next level. Yeah. Do you want to get into trivia now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, that was a fun question. I enjoyed that.
I'm still stuck thinking about it. You've seen 36th Chamber, right? The martial arts movie?
Yes, a long time ago.
I'm liking the idea of having taco challenges throughout the journey.
So how would that happen? Give me a quick
recap. Okay, so you know, in that movie, he has to like you know, cross the river by like standing on logs or whatever. And
sure.
He has to like bang his head into sandbags until he does it right.
Yeah.
In this one, you have to like... You have to master the tortilla pressing move without like hurting your hand,
right?
Because you have to slap it really hard,
really fast. Yeah. And then also like something is like distracting you while it's happening. You're in the rainforest, so it's like, I don't know, a wildebeest or something. I don't know. And so you have to like do it while like fighting off like a rabid animal at the same time.
Yeah, they have like I don't know, like dogs or snakes.
Dogs. The dogs are trying to, like, eat the tacos that you made. You have to be like, no, these are for humans only.
And then you ask the taco master, why do I have to fight off dogs? And it's like, it'll be like fighting off hungry customers.
Exactly. There's always, like, a you know...
There's a message.
There's always a teaching moment. Yeah, there's always a lesson to be learned from these trials. The taco temple. Okay. I would like to go to the taco temple.
I really love the idea of that. Okay, we can do trivia now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I mean, we could talk about the taco temple all day, but yeah, we should probably get into trivia since we're running. Wow, we're like actually on time right now.
No, we're in the clear now.
go for the trivia.
It's all green grass and high tides, if you will.
Is it though?
Yes.
Is it? All right. What's the trivia question?
So I'll ask you to choose a lifeline or three.
Okay. Oh, right.
Should I list them now? For you?
No,
I think you know what they are.
I know what they are. I would like 40 Second Ask. I would like Monty Hall. And I would like Phone a Friend.
Okay. And your first category is animal.
Okay.
Question is, which of these facts about ostriches is not true? So all of these are true except for one.
Okay.
A, ostriches can run faster than horses. B, ostriches can roar like lions.
I don't believe that.
C,
but keep going.
Ostriches don't need to drink water to survive.
That's bullshit.
D, ostrich eggs are 12 inches in diameter.
Which one of these is not true?
All of them are true except for one.
That's... okay, God damn it. I feel like the horse one sounded untrue until you said the lion one, and then that one sounded untrue until you said...
they don't need to drink water.
They don't need water ever. The only one that sounds true is the 12, the Sarge the eggs, but that's a really big egg. How big is it again?
12 inches in diameter.
That's a pretty big egg.
That's a big egg, yeah.
That is a big egg. Maybe that one's untrue and the rest are not. That would be like the tricky way. Or no, maybe that one's not true and the rest are. That would be like the tricky way to do it. Problem with that is I don't think all three of those are true. That's ridiculous. I'm going to do Monty Hall.
Okay.
I'm trying to decide which one I think is the most ridiculous so I can pick that one and lock it in. I'm going to... Can you repeat them again? I'm sorry.
Ostriches can run faster than horses.
I could see that, maybe. But
ostriches can roar like lions.
That seems not true.
Ostriches don't need to drink water to survive.
That just seems impossible.
Ostrich eggs are 12 inches in diameter.
I'm going to lock in ostriches don't need to drink water to... That's what it was. Drink water to survive.
Drink water to survive.
I'm going to lock that in. I don't think that's true.
So it is either that one or ostrich eggs are 12 inches in diameter. So either they don't need to drink water or their eggs are 12 inches
in diameter. I was hoping you would choose one that wasn't the 12-inch egg one.
Yeah.
Because that one's really throwing me off. Because that one seems like it's like the trick question one. Like, oh, it's actually 11. But that would mean they don't drink water to survive. So, like, I don't know. Like, even though I see where you're going with the trickiness, like, the water thing's really throwing me off. All right, I have to go with the water one. Because it just doesn't make any sense. Okay. Ostriches don't have to drink water to survive. I'm calling that one false. Final answer.
That is incorrect.
No!
I tricked you. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit.
I did a dirty thing.
It's okay. It's okay.
Ostrich eggs are 6 inches in diameter.
So, wait a minute. So, you're telling me that they can run faster than horses, they roar like lions, and they don't have to drink water?
Yes, that's all true.
First of all, where did you get all this information?
I got it from, like, epicanimaltrivia.biz.co.eu.
Uh-huh. So ostriches don't have to drink water. So you don't know what the context of that is. You just know from epicanimaltrivia.biz.co.whatever.
I mean, maybe they're just lying.
Maybe they're lying, but it made for a good question, didn't it? Okay, we don't have time to do that right now, but I'm going to Google that after. We'll do a follow-up on if ostriches actually have to drink water or
it
not.
It said they just eat plants.
I feel like every animal needs water, though. Like, I don't care. Especially I can't mammals, eat plants. Yeah. I can't just eat plants and not have to drink water. Can you?
I've never...
I never tried it. Like, what if you ate really leafy lettuce?
I think you'd die.
That had, like, a lot of water in it, though.
I think you'd die.
Well,
maybe not, like, right away, but, like, right. You wouldn't last, like, a month.
Well, ostriches can last forever, apparently. All right, next question.
I'm glad we talked about Die Hard at the beginning because this is a Die Hard question.
Oh, good. I like Die Hard.
Die Hard originated from the failed script of A, Cobra 2, B, Commando 2, C, Red Heat 2, or D, Bloodsport 2.
Bloodsport 2. So I know that Die Hard was based on a book, but the way it worked was they were making a sequel to something, and I don't remember what it was. And
it's one of these.
they needed a story, and they basically adopted it from this book that Die Hard's actually based on. And I know the book, but I don't know the sequel. I don't think it's Bloodsport, because that just doesn't make any sense. Like... That was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie about fighting. Like, it wouldn't make sense for Die Hard to be the sequel to that. I could kind of see Commando, because it's like a Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and it's like, oh, he shoots a lot of people, and Die Hard, he shoots a lot of people. What are the other two?
Sorry. Cobra 2 or Red Heat 2.
I don't know what Cobra 1 is.
It's a Sylvester Stallone movie.
Okay, I've seen that. What is Red Heat? Can you tell me what this movie is?
It's also an 80s action movie.
Okay, it's just an 80s action movie.
They're all 80s action movies.
Yeah, I mean, I figured that out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do 40 second ask, I think, on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what my inclination is, though.
Okay.
My inclination is I don't think it's Commando, and I don't think it's Bloodsport. Well, I'm almost certain it's not Bloodsport.
That was the joke one.
That would be an amazing movie, okay, though. If Jean-Claude Van Damme was stuck in the Die Hard building. Yes. He didn't have a gun, but he was just Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He has to do the splits.
He impresses them by doing the splits. Yes. He's like, look what I can do. And he like, wouldn't thumbs have gotten up.
His feet cut up. You see, he would have done
the splits. No, yeah, he would have done the splits. And then it would like mesmerize the the guards, and they'd be like, whoa. And then he would like karate kick them or whatever. So I don't think it's Bloodsport. I don't think it's Commando. So it's either Red Heat or Cobra.
All right.
I'm kind of leaning Red Heat, but anyway. I'm
Get ready and go.
Die Hard was originally a sequel to what? Okay, the studio then pitched the film to Arnold Schwarzenegger as a sequel to his 1985 action film Commando. So I'm going with Commando, final answer.
That is correct.
I'm surprised it was Commando.
Yeah, same.
That's a very different movie.
Yeah, it's very different.
But I guess they wanted to just make Die Hard as like, okay, Arnold, remember your character in Commando? You're the same character, but now you're in like a building with terrorists. You're like, okay. He's like, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it now. Really good. I've never done my Arnold Schwarzenegger impression on the air. I realized that just now.
You do a good one.
I do. Thank you. I'll do this for the rest of the show. What is the next question?
You should see Cobra. It's a good movie.
I will see it this weekend. Perfect. I will go see the Cobra movie this weekend.
Speaking of action movies, we're doing a bit of trivia about the show in this final question to celebrate the 52nd
episode. What? How does that work? All right, my Arnold Schwarzenegger is like getting worse as I do it more. Go ahead.
My number
one. So wait. This is a trivia question about the show.
The Time Bat Show.
Like the history of the show?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
My number one action movie from episode one of this show.
Oh my god, we're going all the way back.
Is it A, The Matrix? Mm-hmm. B, Terminator 2, Judgment Day? C, Terminator? Or D, Alien 2?
Shit. Or Aliens. But yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, Aliens.
You know, the problem with this question is
they've all been true at different points in my life.
They all, yeah, those are the four I thought of immediately. And I was like, it's one of these. And then you said all of those, and I was like, shit, I have no bearing. And my phone a friend does nothing here. Yeah. It serves no purpose.
If you asked me this question like every day of the week, it would probably be different.
Change. But this is specifically from what was said
on this episode.
The very first episode. Okay, so let me break this down. So we got The Matrix, which I know you really like. We got Terminator 2, which I know you really like. We got Aliens, which I know you really like. And we got, what was the other one?
Terminator 1.
Terminator 1, which I know you really like. Shit, you like all those, like, equally.
Your lifelines won't help you here.
I don't think it's Aliens. No, that's not true. I remember talking...
I'm pretty sure all of these were on the list, by the way.
They all were. I feel like I remember you saying you liked Terminator a little more than Aliens, but I don't remember if that's true or not. I also remember you saying you really liked The Matrix, but I don't remember if it was number one. But, okay, let's do this. I feel like out of Terminator and Terminator 2, you like Terminator 2 more than 1 as an action movie. So I'm going to say that's going to say that. Mm-hmm. And then I think you like Terminator 2 more than Aliens, so I'm going to eliminate Aliens. And now Terminator 2 versus...
Matrix. No,
The Matrix. That's the hard one, because I feel like you like The Matrix a lot.
Yeah,
like
I do.
A lot. But you like Terminator 2 a lot, too. God.
Have you read all of the like behind the scenes trivia about The Matrix, about all the crazy stuff they made the actors do to get ready for that movie?
No, I have not.
You should. It's an interesting read.
I will read that. Okay. More homework for me to do. I'm just kidding. All right, so I'm going to go. I'm not stalling anymore. I'm going to go with Terminator 2, final answer.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day is incorrect.
Damn it.
That day, it was Terminator 1.
Damn it! So it was Terminator 1. I had like an inkling, like, maybe it was Terminator 1, because I remember being confused that it wasn't super action. I mean, Terminator 1, obviously an action movie, but,
yeah,
you know, like, it wasn't as action-y as Terminator 2. But I should have went with my gut. Oh, well. I did really awful on this trivia round. How many did I get? Did I even get one?
You got one correct.
I got the animal one, right?
Sylvester.
No, I didn't get that one.
Stallone. Not
Sylvester. Oh, I got Sylvester, the Commando. Yeah.
Commando 2.
You screwed me with the ostrich one, and then you screwed me with the Terminator 2 one.
Yeah.
That was a hard trivia.
Very hard.
That was one of the hardest we've ever had. Which is fitting for episode 52. Of the Time Batch show. So I feel like in the last couple minutes of the show, we should reminisce about what we like about the show and what we don't like about it. No, don't say anything about what we don't like about it. Let's just go back and think for a second. What does this show, really quickly, what does this show mean to you?
Do you remember the cheese room?
I remember the cheese room. This is my favorite episode of the show. That literally is. My favorite moment of the Time Bet show in the last year, I think, is probably the cheese room.
It's when I called the room the cheese room.
If you don't know the cheese room, just go listen to the episode of the cheese room. The episode on a whole, I don't remember if it was any good, but like there was like a 10-minute segment in the middle of that episode that was about the cheese room that was incredible. It was basically, I don't want to spoil it, but it's we're trying to figure out how to make cheese on the air. We're kind of talking through it. And that's basically what it is.
And we don't know how to make
cheese. And we don't know the first thing about cheese. And you know what I think we said? Like, in a year, we'll know how to make cheese. Like, remember our plan was like, oh, we need to come back in like a year and like know how to make cheese and actually do it. Still don't know how to make cheese. Maybe episode 100 will be like
the cheese room episode.
We could do a live cheese making episode.
I know that there's a cheese room. That's a real thing.
I don't think that's real. I still don't think it's real. I think if you Google the cheese room, you would just get that episode of our podcast. Episode 100, we can do a live cheese making episode. I think we already scheduled episode 100 for us on like a tropical island. We have a lot of separate ideas. We'll massage those a little and make them into one very special episode.
Yeah.
This has been episode 52 of the Time Bet Show, our 1-year anniversary. I'm very excited to be able to say that. This has been the Time Bet Show with Tim Aces and Bat Snacks, obviously. We'd like to thank our listeners and our sponsor today, Joe's Lube and Tube and Auto Bazaar. I'm Tim Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
And remember, drive safely and remember always,
when someone goes to the movies,
always bring your booties.
And plant them in those seats. Thank you. Good night.
And plant them in those seats. Good night, everyone.